Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. And guess what this episode is? It's the season premiere, season three. So I have absolutely no updates to give because I'm recording this literally a week after I did my season finale. I'm just trying to get ahead of the game. So there's no updates, maybe later on. But I want you to be proud of me because I am giving these updates and I'm trying to be good about recording episodes. And I figure if I record five episodes, and by the time I have five episodes done, you know, I can start to publish them, you know, stuff like that. I just need to be a better manager of my time. Anyway, this episode, I know, guess who's here with me while I'm recording? The very rare time that they're here, Boots Boy and Socks Boy are here. As you know, I usually kick them out because they absolutely suck. They just are the worst and they can't ever be quiet to save their life. But supposedly a lot of you guys like when they answer who the episode is going to be about. And even though you guys know what the episode is about, they don't know. So I'm going to give them a few clues and see if they can guess it. 1 second. Boots, Socks Boy. Okay, so if you can guess what this episode is about, you get a treat. It's about a woman who goes undercover to bring to light the mental health field injustices in the 1800s. All right, let's see if you guys can guess who it is. Socks Boy? Socks? Anyway, you already know the vibes. They got it right. Treats for Boots Boy and Socks Boy. Anyway, this episode is going to be about Nellie Bly. And I'm so excited to do this episode because she's actually pretty dope. So welcome to season three. I appreciate you all so much. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. So Nellie Bly was born Elizabeth Jane Cochran in 1864 in Pennsylvania. Her father, Michael, actually owned the town, and like the small town, and it was called Cochran Mills. He named it after his family, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of cute. Anyway, but she loved her father a lot. I was like, you know, her little hero. And he served as a judge in the town. But before she was even born, before he married her mother, this is his second marriage. And before her mom, he already had 10 kids, which by today's standards is a little ghetto, but I guess in 1860 something, that was fine, I guess. Can you be quiet? Can you do all you can to be quiet? Socks Boy. Give me this, you freaking bum! Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell, but you're kind of annoying me. All right. Anyway, he has 10 kids at this point. He marries his second wife, Mary Jane, who is Nellie's mother, and she's a widow as well. She had no children from her first marriage, so she marries this guy, and he has 10 kids. And then they're married, and they have... And then they're married, and they have 5 kids together, so he has a total of 15 children. You know what? I shouldn't judge that too much, because I'm pretty sure my great-grandparents had, like, a million kids. So let me chill out. But at the age of 6, her father dies in 1870. So she's kind of off on her own for a while. And on top of that, it's just her, her mom, and all these freaking kids. So it's... and all these freaking kids. Oh my gosh, now my boss is texting me. This is not a good way to start off the season. I'm super distracted. Oh, he gave me a check up emoji, which means I'm doing a good job. All right. Anyway, so paying attention. And you guys have one more time to make all this racket or I'm kicking you out. And no snacks. So get it together. Anyway, all these kids, it's a huge financial burden. And on top of that, her father had no will. And he didn't really have his estate settled. So they're just sitting in limbo and they don't really get any of the money he would have had. Her mother remarries a third time, but her new husband was very abusive, wasn't a good guy, and she ended up divorcing him. Still got all these kids, though. Elizabeth eventually goes to a local school where she, I guess she's living in the dorms there or something, whatever they have, dorms, whatever. And she's studying to be a teacher. However, she couldn't pay the tuition. So she goes back to live with her mom, and she and her mom run a boarding house together. At the age of 18, she submits an article to the local newspaper called Pittsburgh Dispatch. And she creates an article in reply to an editorial that they had. And it was called What Girls Are Good For. And the author of that article dismissed women's abilities and said that they shouldn't work and they're only good for birthing children. Blah, blah, blah. Chomping on the loudest bone. Okay, come on. Up. Get out. Get out. Do all you can to get out of this room. Get out. Get out. Get out of this room. Do all you can to stop getting on my nerves. Get out. Come on, boy. Get out of my room. Get out. Hey, leave me alone. Stay, stay, stay. Don't follow me. Stay, stay, stay. Sucks! Sucks, get out here. Sucks, do all you can to listen to me and stop being a bum. Fine then. Fine. Screw you then. Okay, what was I at? Okay, so I was talking about how this author is saying that women shouldn't work and they're only good for birthing children. And Nelly had a lot to say about that. I couldn't find the response to what she said to this article, but it was good enough to where the editor of the newspaper loved her response and gave her a job. At the time, she reported under a pseudonym and she was making $5 a week. I looked it up, and $5 in the 1880s is $140 today per week, which still isn't a lot of money in our time. But back then, it was a lot of money. But she loved investigative journalism. Like, I'm sure she loved giving like little snark rebuttals, but investigative journalism was where she was at. However, the editors at the Pittsburgh Dispatch were kind of putting her in a box. Like, she loved doing one thing and they were just kind of not allowing her to do that. So she wanted to spread her wings and fly away. Oh my God, that's R. Kelly. We aren't supposed to sing R. Kelly anymore. Because. Anyway, so she moves to New York in 1887 to work for another newspaper. They allowed her a little bit more freedom to get into what she really wanted to do. And then she takes on the name of Nellie Bly, of what she's famous for. So she decides to go undercover in a New York City mental asylum and pretends to be a mental patient. And her editor was like, great, let's do it. And I think by today's standards, that's what a lot of report, like that's common. Like reporters, you know, just going undercover to get the scoop. But this was, you know, different. And it was really rare for a woman to do something like this. So shout out to her. The mental asylum in question had a horrible reputation for being a terrible place. And she had to figure out how to get herself committed. So what she did was she rented a room in a boarding home. And she just started acting crazy. Like she was wandering the halls, talking to herself, talking to other people, screaming. And the management of the boarding house finally called the police. And then she gets admitted to Bellevue Hospital, which is where this mental asylum is. So let's get into the conditions of this mental asylum. First off, the building was made to house only 1,000 people, but at the time there was over 1,600. There weren't a lot of doctors on staff, and the staff that was there were not properly trained. She writes, quote, "The attendants seemed to find amusement and pleasure in exciting the violent patients to do their worst," end quote. She also had to eat spoiled food. She writes, quote, "I asked for unbuttered bread and was given it. It was hard and in places nothing more than dried dough. I found a spider in my slice, so I did not eat it. I tried the oatmeal and molasses, but it was wretched. And so I endeavored, but without much show of success, end quote. She made it a goal to befriend fellow inmates and kind of ask them what was going on, what were you guys experiencing, and they kind of gave her, like, literally all the tea. Inmates were given ice baths. They were not given dry clothes. They were given wet clothes to wear for most of the day. And if you're walking around in wet clothes, you're going to get sick, which most of them were. Inmates were sometimes strapped to a chair where they couldn't speak to anyone for over 12 hours sometimes. And they were also tied together and made to do manual labor. And they also had to drink contaminated and dirty water. Inmates who lashed out were often beaten or they were threatened with sexual violence. And a lot of the people, as we know, this reminds me of American Horror Story. I don't know if you've ever seen American Horror Story Asylum, but what is her name? The main character that's always in American Horror Story. The one with the top lip. Anyway, so I think she goes to the asylum for being a lesbian or something. And there were a ton of people who were in there that were just normal and were chilling. But a lot of the times they literally lost their minds because of the treatment that they had. And this is what happened to a lot of people there. Most people were not insane at all. They were fully aware, fully there. Many immigrants who came to New York who couldn't speak English were simply thrown into asylums. Nellie says, quote, "A pretty young Hebrew woman spoke so little English, I could not get her story except as told by nurses. They said that her husband put her in the asylum because she had a fondness for other men than himself," end quote. So it's not like they're just putting people away because they can't speak English. And I'm sure they're like, to English speakers, it sounds like they're muttering to themselves, but they're really just speaking another language. Asylum. Your husband thinks you suck. Asylum. You're ugly. Asylum. Like, what? It's not my fault. I'm hideous. Okay, I don't know if people went into asylums for being hideous, but it seems likely. That's the thing. Or a lot of times there were people who are poor who were also thrown into mental asylums because city didn't want to take care of them, so yeet. Eventually, her editor had arranged for her to be released, and her publication, 10 Days in a Madhouse, prompted an immediate investigation. However, before the investigation could begin, the staff were tipped off. Everyone had cleaned up. People she had talked to for her article had been moved someplace else, transferred elsewhere, and inmates were given fresh, are they called inmates? I'm sorry, patients were given fresh water and food that was actually edible. Okay, it's Monday. I went to work this morning. I can't speak the King's English, obviously. They were given fresh water and edible food. But this did not fool the people who are investigating the asylum. All of the staff that were present were fired, and translators were actually put into the asylum so that people who couldn't speak English, they weren't automatically deemed as insane. They could just tell what was going on, you know, actually get some help. Like, I'm new here. I'm from Ireland. Oh, they speak English in freaking Ireland. Okay. It's Monday. I've been to work all day. It's fine. It's fine, Billy. It's fine. You're going through it, girl. You're going through it. Anyway, I'm an immigrant. I'm from freaking Czechoslovakia. I don't even know if they had Czechoslovakia and during that time. But anyway, I don't speak English. Help. I don't need to go to a mental asylum. I just need some immigration papers, please. Anyway, after her expose, she became a huge success. And in 1889, she decides to make a trip around the world. Everybody was really excited. People would try to guess how long it would take her to make the trip around the earth. Millions of people have written in. She took ships, planes. Oh my God. It's Monday. It's freaking Monday. And I've been at work all day. She took ships, trains, rickshaws, whatever she needed to do to make her trip around the earth. Eventually, she had made it to San Francisco, California, USA, and her editor provided her with this nice train ticket. So when she comes to New York, it's like this huge big party. There's a huge gathering upon her arrival, fireworks, and it ended up taking her 72 days to get to back to New York. So is that a little over 2 months? Which is pretty awesome. She eventually wrote a book called Around the World in 72 Days in 1890. And there was also a board game for kids and like adults where you could like be Nelly and do different things around the world. It was like the board game looked kind of cute. Eventually, she settled down in 1895 with millionaire Robert Season. And she kind of took a step back from journalism and she just, you know, was in love with her husband, you know, doing whatever wives did in the 1890s. However, her husband was significantly older than her. I think the source said he was like freaking 30, 40 years older than her. Gross. But all accounts say that they were really happy. However, naturally, her husband died and she returned to journalism and worked for the New York Journal documenting World War One. And the reason why she had to go back to work was because eventually, without her husband and her husband dying so much, being so much older than her, not having any children, she didn't have any money. She ran out of money and had to support herself. So that's why she went back to journalism. However, she dies at the age of 57 in 1922 from pneumonia. And that's Nellie Bly. And she's a phenomenal woman. And I wanted to cover her for some time. I feel like there's more that I could say, but like usual, I like to give historical topics from a high level. For her time, she was a huge pioneer, like for real. Like deciding to go into a mental asylum and write about it and expose all these people, it really pushed for mental health reform. I mean, even years later, they would still have a long way to go. But just to bring to light everything that was going on, it's not like, oh, it's just rumors. This is what's going on over there at Bellevue Hospital. It's like, no, I've seen it. And this is what's going on. This is how people are being treated. And I think that's awesome. I'm so happy to do her. And that's it. And that's the season premiere. I'm so happy because I'm trying to do things in a timely manner. And I'm trying to manage my time. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because I graduated from college. Because grad school sucked, as you know. As you know. Anyway, I'm rambling and rambling. And I'm going to end it right here. Because as you guys know, I will keep talking. And I don't think you guys want to just hear my vocal vomit. This is history you actually wanted to know. Okay. Come on. This is history you actually wanted to know. Oh. F me. Okay. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lady Billy Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. Be sure to rate, review, and share my podcast if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, you don't know me. This is history you actually wanted to know with Lady Billy Day. And let me hit you with the ASMR. Nellie Bly, Nellie Bly.